97.1 FM Talk Podcast. This hour of the Mark Reardon Show is sponsored by Gamma Tree Experts. Your trees deserve the best care. Call Gamma Tree Experts. The Mark Reardon Show.
There's no big energy coming out of the Democratic Party.
Shock, disgust, happiness, sweat, a little bit of lust, baby.
It's go time. It's go, no go, lock and load, love him and leave him, smoke him if you got him, see it when I see it, because it's time for Mark Reardon time.
This is the Mark Reardon Show.
Yes, and it is a very special Valentine's Day edition of the Reardon Roundtable. We are awash in a sea of red here in the suit. Actually, it's just Sue Thomas who has red on. Nobody else has red on, I don't think. Jane, you don't even have red on, do you?
I don't even have red on. Just
yeah,
my lipstick.
I don't have a lot of red, but when I see, I think I got two X's. You see my shirt here? XXXY. Look at that, Sue.
Oh, nice.
Jen Say's company.
Nice.
Yeah, I'm a very big fan of her gear. I got hooked up here. Well, I bought it. I don't want you to think that Jen gave it to me.
Oh, okay, good.
I got a little discount, but I do like the gear. Let's introduce the panel. First, Jane is here on this Valentine's Day. Happy Valentine's Day.
Happy Valentine's
love
Day.
Love is what we express here on the show, don't
I mean,
you think?
A lot of love. A
lot of love. We're going to show
you're
a lot of love.
Especially lovey to me.
Like, for example, today I think it would be fair to say we're going to express a lot of love toward Tish, right? The mayor of St. Louis.
Yeah.
All right.
Sometimes there's something called tough love.
Yeah, we'll give that. Sean Flower, the mayor of Eureka, is here. How are you?
Doing great.
And State Representative Steve Butts, who was my tour guide in Jefferson City a couple of days ago. Hello, Steve.
Hello, Mark. Good to see you again.
And
I am feeling the love.
You should be, and you will throughout the hour. But I think it's interesting, too, that Mayor Flower and Steve Butts have never met. You've
how
never been on the panel.
Even?
I don't
in
know
person,
how that's
only on the radio.
Yeah, that'll
that's
be.
Awesome. I'm glad you two have met.
Well, Jane, do me a favor. How many years have you done this show?
Yes, a million.
Like 30 years. Get on the microphone.
Yeah, we can't.
Get
hear
on
you.
The microphone.
I thought I was.
No, you are not on the microphone.
You usually cut me off, so, you know.
Well, that's a little secret. Sometimes I do have to cut the microphone. Well, let's start here in the city of St. Louis with the mayor's race, because I had Kara Spencer on earlier this week. Steve, this was a race, it's fair to say, you might have gotten in this race if Kara wasn't running, right?
No.
You thought about it. You thought about it, didn't you? Come on.
I thought about it. And
they
then,
tried to recruit
you know,
him.
I would have loved
and I
it.
I had a little chat, but no. It wouldn't lay good for me, but I just know that this is a critical time. I hate when people say this is the most important election. Because we
is.
Say that every time. But this one is certainly at the top. I just think we're on a precipice, and I mean, it's time for a change and some optimism and an ability to work together.
Well, one thing that I felt Monday, Jane, I had Karen in the afternoon. She was here in the studio. There was a lot of energy, a lot of confidence. I mean, in fairness, Steve's not crazy enough to run for mayor of St. Louis because he's not a progressive. Kara is a progressive. She cares about the city, though. I think she'd certainly be an upgrade. But when it comes to the way that she might handle herself in this position, draw, compare, and contrast, if you will. Do you have confidence that she would do many of the things that were needing to be done in the city of St. Louis?
Look, I do think that we're definitely going to up the competence level. I think Kara is someone who will talk to various groups of people, won't exclude people, which I think is smart. She says she wants to hire 400 cops and says we need cops present.
Well, there in and of itself
that,
is
that
a difference.
That, to me,
hello.
Is enough. And, I mean, after hearing the discussion on Friday on the resolution to whether to oppose or to support board control of the police, there were some great things said. I mean, Alderwoman Tyus, Alderwoman Boyd is like, we don't get police up here. You may think this is all working for you. It's not working for us. And I mean, I was very happy that they said it. And Sharon Tyus is like, I've been here the whole time. And I'm telling you, policing was better under board control. So I'm voting no. And that was helpful. It was very helpful for somebody to speak the truth about, you know, because they're revising history about, oh, the city wanted this. No, the city really didn't. They underperformed the rest of the state on this vote. The mayor, Francis Slay, got more people outside of the city to vote for this, percentage-wise, than he did in the city of St. Louis, because people were very wary of this. Chief Isom didn't support it.
Okay, but some of us support it. I mean, I thought it was a good idea.
I thought
it was a little crazy, but then we learned from our mistakes, right?
Right.
So there are people that are supporting this in Jeff City, the same thing, Steve, like you, maybe
that's
flipped around on this.
I mean, there's a lot of support. This is my opinion, being a little bit on the inside in Jeff City. This is going to happen. Now, the devil will be in the details, and there's negotiations and some amendments being thrown on it, but it does have a lot of support, and I keep harping on when the Ethical Society of Police and the POA are just really in solidarity that this is their number one issue. All of us in the city need to listen to those two groups. Not exclusively, but you got to listen to their voice.
So, Mayor Flower, you're a mayor, and you've probably seen some of the negatives on Tishara, and we talked about that last week, 62%, which is higher, some people have said, than even, you know, when people are in a scandal or, you know, embroiled in controversy. Right. So there is a chance. It looks like, I mean, I don't know if you both agree with this, but some people are saying she might even make it through the first round. Because there's two rounds, of course.
Yeah,
in the
I'm not by no means an expert on city politics, but to me it seems like especially with all the you know, real practical things like when you're getting down to snow services, police,
trash.
Yeah. I mean, the people I know in the city that talk about it, and just the I've never seen, and it seems like the press all of a sudden has had the permission. It seems like to bring up the issues in a way that seems they haven't done in the past. It seems like there's a lot more coverage of the issues that are out there. So from an outsider looking in, I mean, to me, it seems like there's a big opportunity for somebody else to come in based on kind of those other ones.
Well, would it be so hard, for example, to do everything that you were referring to, like cover the services? And I'm not recommending this, but I'm sure it'll happen. You can still be kooky crazy on some of these progressive ideas if you take care of some of the services. Certainly not suggesting that's the way we manage things, but being realistic about an urban area.
And that's the part I always stare at. Never in the history of the city has there ever been so much free money available to a politician
and
to
not
do
getting
things,
anything done.
And you cannot point to one. I would love to hear the real accomplishment of the last 4 years, even. And I mean, what is it? It's close to $1 billion.
$750 million.
I mean, down here between Rams and federal money,
yep.
I can't. I mean, you literally can't find one. I mean, I would have built something, a statue
isn't
myself.
Isn't there impatience with just that in Jeff City? Isn't there confusion? Like, how in the world can you hang on to all this money and not do something for people?
Is there impatience? Sure. I think there's a lot of people in Jeff City. They just unfairly and never-endingly criticize the city of St. Louis. I can tell you the patience of us lifetime city residents, our patience has worn thin. And I think it's one of the reasons we have this growth of special taxing districts where we're like, forget that. We're going to self-tax ourselves. We're going to spend all that money. Sue and I both live in one that's one mm-hmm. and the
yeah.
same.
Yeah, Holly Hills,
and
right.
On average, for about $200 a year, we're doing our own forestry improvements and beautification. And do we have to do that? Unfortunately, yes. Should the city be doing more? Absolutely,
of course.
Yes. But how long are we going to wait? And, you know, you got to push back in some way, shape, or form. So we're lighting candles.
That's State Rep Steve Butts. Sean Flower, the mayor of Eureka, is here. Jane Duker. So where is the actual legislation on state control? And the other thing is I think some of us have an expectation, even someone like me who follows this, we unrealistically expect things to move quicker than they are, and they don't move very fast. Right, Jane?
No, we were on the floor. They sort of did a test run in the Senate last week, and you know, it went well. And I think it's going to come up, I think, early this week in both the House and the Senate. It's going to be on the floor of both houses. So, I mean, in talking to all the legislators, they're like, this is the governor's top priority.
Okay, so what's the Carla May factor? Explain the Carla May factor.
I mean, she can try to filibuster, but I think
she's a senator from the city.
Correct. And she is opposing it. It's qualitatively different this year than it has been in years past, which is interesting. I don't think she has a lot of help, and I think she will probably be down to zero help very soon. And she's, you know, she's getting ready to term out. So, you know, she's got to be looking toward her future and, you know, what does she want her future to be? So I think they will roll her. I think this is going to happen.
Steve, when we were talking, and I'm going to thank State Rep Butts because he was my tour guide in Jeff City when I went and visited the governor and the attorney general on Wednesday. But we were talking and Senator Schwer was there. And one of the things that you and I and Nick were talking about, the amendments that have been at least attempted to be latched onto this. And one of them would allow people who don't live in the city but have businesses in the city to potentially be on the commission, which I think you're against.
I'm strongly against that. So, yeah. I mean, the gist of the bill is to have a board of police commissioners appointed by the governor. I mean, that's the essence of the bill. But there's a lot of little details being added. And one that at least Senator Schroer and maybe others were floating, but that is this idea that right now, all five commissioners have to be city residents. This is saying someone lives outside of the city could be on the board if they have a business in the city. I'm like, that is just bull, and I am really lobbying to get that
pulled. Owning property in the city and supporting the city by having your business here isn't enough?
It's not. Well, it is not enough to be on this board of police commissioners. This is a citizen-led.
Here's what I would say.
You're not a citizen Yeah, the city, just because you have your business in the city.
Yeah, look, you can't vote in the city. I understand wanting to have a say in this, but is this how you fight over the bill? If you can't get that aspect, can't you say, okay, well, we're going to get five people from the city?
I think there's going to be a lot of talks going on. I just don't think it's as harmful, I think, as everyone else.
That particular amendment.
Yeah, that doesn't, I think that's in the Senate bill, actually.
It is, but it's coming up.
But so, I hope. So I don't know. I haven't seen any amendments get on, or there hasn't been one amendment that's passed so far.
So let me bring something else up, and we're going to move to some national politics and Doge and, you know, Elon Musk derangement syndrome and everything. But Steve, you were, when we were tooting around the House, they were a bunch of wimps and they weren't in session because of the snow, just to confirm, right? You agree? You were there.
Well, the Democrats, we were all there. The Republicans called a snow day.
Bunch of wimps. I'm telling you what. By the way, I got to see Steve's office.
Really?
Yeah, they did.
Yeah.
Have you ever seen, you have, Jane, so of Steve's course. Office is like the size of a small closet in the city of St. Louis.
But it's a nice closet.
Shore's office is like this palace. It's unbelievable. Yeah. It's got like two levels. It's like a condo, right?
Yeah, well, my first time being in there, it was over the top.
Kind of exaggerating on both fronts. But Steve, we sat in on a committee hearing with the topic being perhaps getting rid of the state income tax, right? And that's something that Republicans and Nick are interested in. Now, Steve and I had a private conversation about this, and I admitted, I have to concede, and I'm all for cutting taxes. I feel like if you're looking at tax burden overall, the state tax for the state of Missouri isn't overbearing, and I don't know if people are making decisions on whether to move to the state or not move to the state based on that. On the other hand, if we can get rid of it and have something that's revenue neutral, I'm not sure if we can, might not be a bad idea. Is that an idea that goes anywhere this session?
I don't believe so. No. I know I spoke with you about it. I hope people that are listening right now understand. Just 7 or 8 years ago, we had a top marginal tax rate of 6%. It's been slowly coming down.
It's
now 4.7. On this very show, Mark and I had a debate. He said, hey, if we've got all this money, why don't you cut taxes? I'm like, we've cut taxes every year, five of the last six. And he's like,
I am
really
worried.
Well, no, I was aware.
Go to zero is not practical because they're not telling you the other side is, which we're going to raise state sales taxes to offset this. And we're going to do that by taxing services with sales tax. And I'm like, if I cut your income tax by $2,500 a year and I raise your sales tax bill by $2,500 a year, did I cut your taxes? I don't think so.
Well, I think the danger with the sales tax, especially here in this region, I can't speak for Kansas City or the other larger areas like Springfield, but look, you know this as well. Let's talk about Holly Hills. You go to the Lowe's in that particular area off 55 and Loughborough, that tax is about 11% because of the special district. Right. Any thoughts on this, Sean?
The other risk.
Getting rid of the state income tax.
Well, and my thing is, I've heard a lot of people talking about it. I just was at a meeting this morning that a couple of reps were talking about it. And it's always about the dropping, but is just somebody that's having to pay bills for a municipality. I just never hear what the actual offsets are going to be. How do you you can't just take the revenue away. Where does it come from? And I look at things like you said. I think you really do need to look at somebody and say, hey, the guy that provides any type of service, or if you paid an attorney. The other one, you know, being in the real estate business, I mean, are you all of a sudden going to be paying a 5-6% tax on it on your house? And then what happens is nobody likes those. So then it gets super complicated. So now you start, you'll have the home builders in, they'll want to be exempted out of sales of houses, or you'll have attorneys will say, so it's very difficult when you offset.
Because there's going to be carve outs.
So it becomes so complex. And I'm the same way. I'm not 100% sure that after you went through all the pain, it's like, if we're going to do all that, we go through the pain, what was the benefit? Because we know we have a certain
and that's fair enough. I think what people would really target, and again, this gets complicated because money goes to school districts, et cetera, is the stupid personal property tax, right? Because that drives people nuts. It's a pain in the ass. It's, an additional tax burden. Now, I think what you'd have in Illinois, or where I used to live in Wisconsin, people say, look, you get rid of that, your regular property taxes on your homes are going to go up.
You're going to pay one way or another. Here's the other thing that concerns me, because it's been a long time, but, we were the last administration that really had a budget bottom out. This was after 9/11, and the budget was terrible. And the idea that you're going to mess with the mix, okay, the economy goes through different phases. Sometimes sales tax revenue is a far more volatile tax, which means, are you going to want, the most of your budget to be covered by sales tax, which is very volatile, which means you can't budget, you can't get a good consensus revenue. It is, having a good mix of different taxes to make sure
it's
safe.
It's a crazy idea. How about spending less?
I mean, that you know
it's
what?
Nuts.
Everybody says that, but I can tell you this. You could eliminate every state employee. That's less than 1%
of the budget. That's because of the Medicaid expenses, right?
I mean, look, what drives the Missouri budget is K through 12 education, prisons, and Medicaid. Okay? Everything else is insignificant. So, what part of the schools, what part of the prisons, or what part of Medicaid do you want to cut?
I thought we were sending all the prisoners down to South America or something like that. We got a break. We're coming back. Jane Duker, Sean Flower, the mayor of Eureka, state rep Steve Butts coming back with more on the Reardon Roundtable on a Friday. All right, we're going to move on to national stuff here, but you've got a bit of a gem here that is on Twitter from the mayor of St. Louis, Tashara Jones. Jane Duker on the panel, the mayor of Eureka, Missouri, Sean Flower, and state rep Steve Butts with us on a Friday afternoon. Of course, Sue Thomas is here. She'll have Sue's news in the next hour. Jane, you have to read this. This is just too good.
Well, so yeah, this is being reported by Channel 5, KSTK, Mark Maxwell. Another memorable moment from the candidate forum. Where would we most likely find candidates out and about in their neighborhood? So they go to the mayor first, and the mayor, Jones, said, Harold's Chicken on Union. An audience member shouted out, they're closed. They've been closed for over a year.
Ouch.
Well, you're getting heckled by the audience.
She needs to get out in her neighborhood a little bit more. Yeah. All right, Sean, I'm going to start with you on this one. Here we have Trump derangement syndrome, which is morphed now into Musk derangement syndrome.
Elected Felon Musk, because you can't spell felon without Elon.
Brothers and sisters, we should know that people, the rest of the departments and all the people that they support are getting screwed.
Okay, I do like the felon part. You can't spell felon without Elon. I don't think he's a felon, but that is kind of creative. I'll give her some points on that one. But everything they say doesn't make sense. Like, my favorite is he's doing this for personal gain, because a guy that's got $500 billion needs some personal gain, I think, doesn't he? He needs to rip off the taxpayers. That's what he's doing here.
Yeah, he's definitely looking for my Social Security number to kind of, you know, get off of my credit or something. But I've never seen anything like what we're watching, because you always go in and you say, hey, can we figure out what's going on and bring good common, like, business practices to government? And the things that, not just the individual programs that are fraudulent or wasteful, but just like systems where you say there's really no like controller in the federal government that just says this bill should be paid or not be paid, or how do we do it, or everything he's doing, and the dollar amounts are frankly staggering.
Well, I think they are staggering.
It's just to me, when you see people respond, it's one thing to say I don't like this or that, but it's truly unreal that you would be mad at him individually to have a guy come in. I mean, we should be paying him. I mean, what's the dollar value to the government for him to do that and bring all these guys in to do this? Again, you can argue about whether you like a program or not, but clawing back today, what is it, $90 million from New York for things that clearly were not authorized, and none of this would be happening had he not decided to volunteer his time.
One of the most fascinating, there's been reporting on this before this week, but it sort of came back up to the top because Elon pointed this out at this event at the White House on Tuesday, but federal employee retirements are actually processed using paper by hand in this old limestone mine in Pennsylvania. They have 700 plus mine workers. They're 230 feet underground, 10,000 applications per month. They're stored. This is like, no offense to my executive producer, Fred Bottomer, but you guys all know him. The way he does it, and we're never going to change it, Sue, is he writes the show program out of manila envelopes. That's what they're doing with the retirement applications. Now, that just seems a little outdated. I don't know. There's things that we can improve upon,
unless
right?
Unless you're Fred.
Well, right. No, we don't want to fix Fred. Yeah. We just keep it. But Steve, what's so wrong with cutting inefficiency, waste, and fraud?
Nothing is wrong with doing those things. I can tell you what I feel is wrong and dangerous. Come on, you guys. When you have the world's richest guy, I don't care what you say. I'm just like, I just don't see how he should have an inside track into any kind of government information. If we're so inept.
Is it because he's rich?
Clearly.
But when you say the world's richest man shouldn't, like, what is it about being rich that would make you
He's appointed to a new government position.
Yeah. Not qualified. I'm saying, is he qualified to be super successful in all his business adventures?
Well, like, what
absolutely.
Qualification
but not to be an auditor of public processes and funds. Do you mean to tell me that, let's just pick on our state auditor right here, it seems to me that there should be an auditor at the city level, the county level, the state level, regional level, federal level, absolutely. But to say that we went to Elon Musk,
This isn't an audit. Okay, we're going to do audits. Promise you, we're going to do audits. This is
like an audit.
You're looking at
stuff where money is wasted.
Yeah,
I'm good with that. I'm just having a problem.
It's like Kevin McKinsey or somebody coming in and evaluate your whole business, because some of it is like you pay bills wrong. I mean, auditors a lot of times are just saying you can't even audit because the systems are so bad. You couldn't hire an auditor to do it because they don't categorize anything they pay, and there's no way to match it against anything. This is business consulting. This is a level of you could never afford. I mean, I can tell you if I could get Elon Musk to come to Eureka and help me out with management of our finances for free, would I turn it down? I mean, and if you're not going to do it on a federal level, why?
I won't answer
for you. And he's got a top secret security clearance already.
Yeah. And at this point, I think we're exposing things. We're pointing things out. They're going to go through audits. They're laying people off. Look, this is the only real opportunity that we've had in my lifetime to reduce the size and scope of government. And I am behind it. And it seems like the American people are behind it because the polling has Trump higher in approval ratings than he's ever been.
Well, and the part I think is interesting, too, is that it's never about Elon Musk, what he's finding. Nobody talks about that. If you oppose him, you oppose him individually, but nobody will actually defend anything that he's got out there on the substance. And that's why it must be very successful, because it's all process arguments. It's not about it's all process about him. It's not about any of the findings.
Would you agree with that, Jane? I mean, all the complaints from your side are about him. They're not about what he's finding.
Yeah, I mean, attacking the guy is a waste of time. I mean, it just, nobody cares. I mean, and I'm of a mind that you know, when you have the effects of what is happening, then I think the Democrats' message is very murky as to what they're really complaining about. So I think you pick really good issues, you stick with them. But I think saying everything he's doing is wrong is a mistake, because I think people think that, you know, there's got to be stuff in the budget that they can get rid of. It's very difficult to defend that. Now, on the other hand, just because you're a businessman doesn't mean you are able to figure out government on a dime, okay? Mm-hmm. And, you know, the thing that concerns me most about this process, I don't care that it's Elon, it doesn't matter who it is, that taking an axe when you need a scalpel is not good government. The courts are already weighing in. I mean, you know, because actually when you go to court and you have to defend and say, oh, yeah, doing all of this will have this, and this consequences that weren't, you know, thought about or weren't, you know,
right,
dealt
but,
with.
Okay, but, you know,
so, I mean,
sometimes you have to amputate below the knee because it's going to get worse throughout
okay,
the rest
well, let's
of the body.
See. We're talking about the amputation. Well, they're amputating NGA. That's terrible for us.
What's NGA?
NGA is the geospatial. Oh. They are telling all of these St. Louis employees that we spent millions and billions of dollars developing this. And now they have put every one of those people leave.
But here, all right. But let's talk about the bigger picture, because there are going to be things. And by the way, there have been some things that they have shut down. Mm-hmm. They shut the spigot off. They realized that they needed to turn it back on, and they did. So to
That's
your
where
point,
I say, scalpel
my sense
versus.
Would be, and this is where local members of Congress will play a role. If members of Congress, Republican or Democrat, but Republicans are going to get an earful from constituents, from business owners, if some of this stuff is going in a way that constituents don't like, in particular big donors or business owners. So I think some of this can be peeled back. But we're at the point, and Sean, I don't know if you agree with me here, the scalpel hasn't worked, mainly because no one's even tried the scalpel. So I'm more for,
he's exposing a more base layer. And Jane, I think this is interesting, because he's almost doing it like I've heard him talk about Twitter. He goes, it's so poorly run and there's so little tracking and accounting that the only way you can figure out what should be paid or shouldn't is to stop everything. And then you get people complaining that they don't get paid, and you can evaluate what's going on. These things are so poorly written, you can't even tell what you're paying for.
Well, I mean, look, we have the city and the county have the same problem.
That's why I said it's never been addressed like this. I mean, have you ever seen a government clawback, what is it, $20 billion that they ship out from the EPA and put in an NGO like the day before he walks into office? There's so much nasty stuff. I'd defend the guy with a scalpel. I think they ought to listen. But I also think Marco Rubio, I think other guys in those main departments are paying attention. There's got to be attention. But I think he's more throwing stuff up and go, see, and
chaos for chaos' sake. I'm not sure.
Why is it chaos' sake? It's not chaos' sake. This we're being serious. I mean, our side is serious about peeling this stuff back. We don't like it.
I'm not saying it's chaos.
Not all chaos is bad.
I'm clearly
I'm Pollyannish on this, thinking, you know, that when we have competent, you picture Mark Rubio or whoever's running defense now or in years past, you'd like to think they were running an efficient operation. And it appears that the answer to that is no. It didn't matter if it was Republicans or Democrats. And Mark, what you're saying with getting a hold of your local congressman and complaining, I think that's kind of how we got
where
we're going.
When they started,
is people that are main donors can call their congressman and get their carve-outs and their special little
that
deals.
That might be right, yeah.
How is it that our congressman did not say a darn word about asking to furlough and to retire all these NGA employees? Where the heck is our congressman saying, you know what, we fought for this. We put our skin in the game to have NGA move here. It's a billion-dollar project. It's supposed to revitalize the North Side, and now you're going to pull the rug out and our people don't say a word?
Well, I think they will have to. I think eventually they absolutely have to. But let's not. One of the things that I don't want to conflate, and this is where I think Democrats are conflating this, there's a difference between waste, fraud, and abuse. Okay? Let's take the fraud part out, because I keep getting told, and I hear this on CNN and other people, where's the fraud? You're not exposing fraud. Well, here's what I did. And this is pretty easy. All you have to do is Google a couple of things, and I'm going to take you to the IRS website, which is irs.gov, another agency we're going to shut down, by the way. I don't think that's going to happen. But here's the IRS headline from a year ago, and I can guarantee you that it's worse today. IRS criminal investigation releases updated COVID fraud statistics on fourth anniversary of the CARES Act. You want to take a guess as to how much fraud there was exposed just in March, as of March of last year? Who wants to throw a figure
50
out?
$50 billion.
$9 billion. $9 billion. Now, that's a year ago. Now, we know that there's CARES Act fraud. We know that, right? So there is fraud. You're going to need an audit for that.
There's fraud right here.
Well, of course there is. But, I mean, to act like everybody in Congress should be concerned about $9 billion in fraud from the CARES Act. Everyone should be concerned about Medicare fraud and Medicaid fraud. But it seems like Democrats aren't interested in any of that.
That's, Mark, boy, that's not true. We are concerned about fraud.
Absolutely.
I mean, there might be a difference on saying how much funding should be done at certain government agencies. That for sure is a DNR debate. But to say we're not concerned about fraud, I mean,
well,
all
right now,
Democrats.
I don't hear national Democrats, because they keep questioning, oh, they're not finding fraud. Are you kidding me? That's the easy stuff. No. We've already had that exposed, and we just need to put the cap on it.
Here'd be the way I'd say the tone changes, though. You know, he'll bring up in a conference, hey, we've got a 150-year-old person that's getting Social Security payments, or we think there's a ton of Social Security payments and medical payments being made out of the country, like larger than it could be.
Right.
The reaction, instead of, hey, let's fix that, has been, he's getting into the Social Security Administration, our privacy rights are going to be destroyed. And that's why I say I think it's a mistake nationally. I'm not saying every Democrat feels that way, but I think what's going to be really interesting is every time they challenge him, the guy's so freaking smart and competent, and the technology they're bringing. I mean, it's like, they always talk about AI is going to change the world and eliminate jobs. Who knew they would all be federal government jobs, because there's no technology there? So evidently, he is bringing all this stuff, and I think the receipts are going to be so
powerful. We do need better technology at every level.
I mean, they're talking about old systems. I just think the results are going to be so good. The numbers, they're numbers. So if they drop and he cuts a lot of stuff and nobody really gets hurt, it's going to be hard to argue. And that's at the end of the day, the results are going to be measurable.
Well, that's why I say pick the right issues. I mean, you can't start screaming about something where the effect hasn't been
realized
yet.
Plus, I think
if you
picked it, I think he would actually agree with you on stuff. I don't think he's ideological.
Well, I would rather people come to the table and say,
hey,
this
could you
is
worry
what,
about this, or can
I mean,
we get this turned
that
on?
That does happen in Jeff City. When people go up and say, hey, I want this in, I want this out. I mean, there is a certain amount.
Yeah, there's going to be a process. But, you know, right. The other complaint is that somehow this is in secret. The president, Elon Musk, they're taking questions on a regular basis. Sometimes the president takes questions on all these topics twice a day.
Even little
which, by the way, in just 3 weeks, he's done more than Biden did in
ever.
Not even in just 4 years, ever.
Yes. And off the cuff. Unscripted, actually walks out and speaks like a human being.
So what's not transparent? I think that's where it's resonating with the American people, because a lot of this is kind of common sense stuff. Like, wait a second. You're saying that, you know, biological men shouldn't compete against women in sports. Oh, yeah. You know, we've kind of felt that way, and 80% of Democrats have felt that way. That seems to make common sense. Trump's right on this. And that's kind of where this is evolving, because he's racking up victories. 341, a little bit more of the Rear Roundtable on a Friday to go. We have a Friday edition of Sue's News in the next hour. Paul Hall on entertainment and Mr. Cusimano will talk sports. We're going to talk about Sue. We always love Tim Sommer. He will be here in the 5 o'clock hour. Rock and Roll Hall of Fame nominations came out. We covered that a little bit yesterday. Tim's always got some very thorough thoughts on those who were excluded. And, you know, this is only the voting phase of it, so we don't know exactly who's going to get in. Jane Duker is here on the panel, and she's going to hang out in the next hour. State Rep Steve Butts and the mayor of Eureka, Sean Flower. Jane, you mentioned something during the break. Let's at least toss it out as an audible here, because this has gotten a little coverage this week. Senator Hawley and Bernie Sanders have uniquely teamed up on something to cap credit card interest rates. I haven't thought this one through. I will say this. It just seems I have a Southwest card that I use because of the points on a regular basis. And for the most part, I try to put a lot on that as much as possible. And then I wake up in the morning and I just pay it off. Right now, I think and I have like a 790 credit score right now. And I still think my rate is like 25% or something. Now, it doesn't really affect me because I'm not building up the balances. But some of this stuff is it just seems crazy. And I get that there's businesses that have the right to charge fees for lending us all money. But
they're
I'm not sure where that's going to take
still
us.
Usury. Laws in every other context. I mean, you know, you're not allowed mortgages. I mean, you know, there has to be, because it bears no relation to the risk, you know, that these companies are taking. I mean, it bears no relationship whatsoever for a legitimate purpose. And so I think, you know, we talked about doing this in the state of Missouri 20 years ago. I don't know how we never got to this point.
I'm a free market go. I don't know. What do you think here, Sean? We all have options,
it's,
right?
It's similar to our conversation about taxes. I'd just be interested to see what's the overall economic impact and does it cause you, you know, like it's kind of like when they did that whole round of no bank fees and like they started cutting into other things. And then you started seeing either a lot of people couldn't get bank accounts or you get they find other ways to get to the same economic outcome. So I don't know. I mean,
well, maybe we don't. Maybe we don't cap it at 10%, but maybe 20%. But let's face it, a lot of these are 28, 29. I'm not even sure they might go higher than that.
If you charge somebody 20% because the risk is that high, you maybe ought not be loaning them the money. I mean, that's how we got where we were in 2008, because everybody was told they had to give everybody a house loan. And there were people who couldn't pay it. And our people were buying too many houses or, you know, and we had a crash. I mean, there has to be some breaks on lending money.
When there is excesses in any capitalistic society, the government, because as our elected officials, we're going to step in and say consumers need some basic level of protection.
Right.
We've been down that road for 150 years, and it's part of why
here's what I do support. I support a debate on that issue. All right, Bernie Sanders and Josh Hawley have an idea.
Have at it. Let's hear about it.
I'd be definitely interested in hearing more about it.
Well, I'm glad that they're
like
doing
it. Like if you asked me, hey, Sean, can I get your credit card? And I said, it'll be 30%. And you go, what are you for? I'd have a hard time explaining it.
Yeah.
I mean, just as a base level. So, I mean, I'm not dying on the
Well, what's going to happen is the banks are going to have to make money in other ways. And, you know, so that will happen.
So, yeah. Like, my favorites are, and look, I've taken advantage of this and over the years probably been burned. But when they come in and they, you know, they do 0% or whatever, and then if you don't pay that balance off, usually this is like a retail account or Best Buy or something like that.
But how about those mortgages, the big arms? Those are like, oh, yeah, pay this small mortgage and then you have a balloon and, you know,
well,
and you're crushed.
Right. But
you
in theory, you could refi, that's just never going to happen again because rates aren't going to go as low as 3 or 4%.
Because if property values aren't going up, that is a losing game.
It is
going to, and everybody loses at the same time.
I think property values have been pretty holding steady here.
Good financial disclosure, good consumer protection is part of the equation.
Yeah, I mean, it is worth talking about
economy.
For sure.
Although on that stuff now, that's the funny part with those disclosures. They, in an effort to disclose, you provide so much information, nobody reads it anyway.
Yeah.
I mean, you fought. True. You watch the guys fought mortgages right now, and they have no idea. I mean, it's impossible to go through all the detail.
True. One of the things that, you know, and the left is already doing this when it comes to, what was that, a sound effect somewhere?
No.
Was that you?
That was me.
Oh, my gosh, it sounded like place breaking. Look, there's already, Sean, the folks on the left are saying, wait a second, Trump said he was going to drop prices on everything, and he's been in there 3 weeks. Of course, the labor statistics and inflation statistics that are coming out now are from a period for which Donald Trump was not president. Having said that, you know, the legacy media, they're not going to let go of this. They're going to keep asking. The Democrats are going to keep saying, why aren't prices going down faster? And they'll have unfair coverage of that because it wasn't something that was covered during the Biden administration when it was going up.
I thought it was just transitory.
You can't promise something and then get ticked off when people are saying, hey, are you doing it yet?
I do think the thing I think reflects is more the media and the questions. So nobody ever asked about it, act like it wasn't a problem. It's completely not a big deal. It's going away. It's overblown. The economy's amazing. And then January goes around. It's like, oh, my gosh, we got a lot of inflation.
But are you afraid of the question?
No, I don't think Trump's afraid of it. I just think Mark and I were just saying it's just kind of a dumb question after a month.
Right. But they'll keep asking it.
He's been there 3 weeks, and the stats have had no... All what they're trying to do, what I've seen more, is say, oh, there's a threat of a tariff, so I'm going to try and blame everything that, you know, what was it? Coffee was going up when we were doing the Panama Canal. I mean, it's just, it's so, everybody's just, it's just, everybody's flowing around trying to figure out.
Well, and I'm not a global trade expert, so I'm still kind of waiting on some of the tariff stuff because I don't know how that's going to all work itself out.
So it's hard to see.
I think you're cutting them too big of a slack. If you're campaigning and you say, on day one, I'm going to stop the war in Ukraine. On day one, I'm going to end inflation. You just said it's just hyperbole.
He set the expectations.
I know it's hyperbole because I was talking to Mark when he was in Jeff City. Hey, if any president could just magically lower inflation, inflation rate would be 0.001. And if they could make gas a buck and a half, they all would.
I'm excited about the energy policy, though. I think that's the unsold one where when you deregulate, you start going and everybody's starting to look at all this and get and have a more balanced and based on merit system. I think that energy stuff's going to really, like I said, I think the proof's going to be in the pudding over the next 18 months. There's a lot of structural stuff that could have big impacts.
Right, but what I would say, and look, this is where I get what Steve's saying, because if there is someone on the other side promising all these things on day one and they didn't do it, I think we'd be calling them out. But I think the better marker is about 18 months because some of the stuff is going to, you know, take a while to hash out.
And I agree with you. I just think most people would take Trump and say, okay, there's always these talking and some, you know, the point is here.
Right.
I just think when they take them that literally on it, I just don't think the argument works that well because everybody, like you're saying, everybody kind of has it cooked in. They're not, it's not going to be an effective argument.
All right. Uncomfortable topic just because we're all baseball fans. But look, spring training is starting. It looks like Nolan Arenado is going to be our third baseman. Alex Bregman goes to the Red Sox. So maybe an option there is not available. Mo and the team talking like, you know, this might be something where we get Arenado back. But look, Steve, and I think we talked about this the other day. We've talked about it before. There is very little excitement for this baseball team. Now, that doesn't mean they can't, you know, exceed expectations. I'm almost wondering if that's what will happen and they start off hot and then people are going to be like, wait a second here, they're pretty good. There is that possibility, but we could also look into a situation here in this baseball season where it can get pretty bleak if they don't get off to a hot start.
So I'm not disappointed. Sure, if it worked out in the offseason to trade Arenado, I'm not disappointed saying we've got Arenado playing third.
Oh, no, There's only two or three
better third basemen in the whole league.
Look,
it's not like we're weaker with Arenado at third.
But do you think, I think the fan base may appreciate that, but they also think, look, the dude wants to win a ring. We're okay also, and I think the team is, if he's got a better opportunity. If he stays, I think that's awesome. I really do.
Let's go win a ring. Go win a ring.
Well, I mean, yeah, I am concerned. Like, there has been zero change. I mean, what concerns me is they said that change was happening, and it hasn't.
Well, I don't know if they did this year.
Beef is the pitching staff. I mean, it really comes down.
You look at those 3 year
when
problem.
I look, you know, Michaelis, and he was on the news last night, but I'm like, really?
I mean,
he's still our number three. I mean, you got to be kidding me.
Here's what I would say, and I'm not an expert. We can bring guys like Kevin Wheeler, Matt Pauly, Tom Ackerman on to talk about some of these specifics. But when I look at ESPN Plus, and I'll, you know, peruse some of the prospects and the hottest talent, you got to develop the talent. But the Cardinals have a very, very strong pool of talent. And it's just about, I think, what we learned last year, especially in that story from The Athletic. They don't have the support, you know, staff, if you will, to develop it properly. And I think they changed that. That's one thing that they did do, in fairness. There were a lot of things where the Cardinals fell, and we didn't even realize this. I don't think the fans realized this, where they were falling off the wagon compared to other teams, including the Brewers. And I think they've fixed some of that. Gang, we've knocked out the Valentine's Day edition of the Reardon Roundtable. It was full
of
love here in the studio. There's no doubt about
it. Feeling
it. Steve Butts, again, thank you for the tour of Jeff City and the Capitol. I don't know if anybody saw this picture,
Mark.
Sean, but there's a toilet that's in the state capitol, a men's room.
With the shower curtain.
There's a stall that doesn't have
that
a door.
I've been everywhere.
They put a shower curtain on it. That's the best that we can do.
See, no, it's government efficiency.
The door
was broke. We fixed it with a $2 curtain.
Sean Flower, great to have you. Thank you so much. Jane, I guess I'll let you hang out, right?
Thank
on a Friday.
You,
we'll look forward to that. Sue's News is coming up. You saw
the Get more at 971talk.com.